The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Well, yes, we must. If we are to ever be free again, we must take America back. Welcome, everyone, to the National Intelligence Report and my first day on the job here. My name is Mike Gatti, and I was very kindly provided this new slot by the management at RBN, and I want to thank them for that, and also want to ask each one of you to go to republicbroadcasting.org. I'll be all right in a little while, guys. If do whatever you can to help out this bastion of free speech. We must keep this going because free speech is diminishing in so many ways. And as witnessed last week by Governor DeSantis traveling to Israel to sign a piece of legislation for the people of Florida. Now, someone please tell me how... Well, anyway, let's not get into that. That would require quite a bit of... for my first show, I wanted to do something here a little bit different, and... What is that cancer in our lead-in music? What is that cancer that's eating away at America and has been eating away at America for centuries? It's socialism. It certainly is socialism. And I don't care if Donald Trump said in 2019 that America was not a socialist country and would never be a socialist country. All he did was expose his ignorance, and he's pretty good at that, and I know that will anger some folks as well, and I'll probably toss and turn for 10 or 15 seconds tonight worrying about it. But just to set some parameters here, what is socialism? Well, very simply, it is an economic control of the people by government. Do we have that? Of course we do. It's put into the Constitution in 1787, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, the power of unlimited taxation. And an old Whig writing opposing that part of the Constitution said it would be the seed of all forms of tyranny. That's right, folks. Unlimited taxation from unlimited sources in unlimited amounts, and you have no say-so. That, my friends, is socialism by definition. It's the government control of private property. Well, how do we do that? We tax it. How can we tax it? Well, it's in the Constitution. Not just land, but whatever else you might own is still controlled by taxation. Boiled down to its very essence, socialism means taxation, control, regulation, bureaucracy, and Big Brother government. Please tell me that's not what we have. And that's not what we have had for centuries. But anyway, to kind of get to my point here, to go drop back in history a little bit, let's go back to 1848 in Europe. There's a massive revolution there. Karl Marx and Engels have written the Communist Manifesto, and they want to implement it in Europe, and they meet strong resistance, very strong resistance. And so they were threatened with prison time for trying to implement socialism. They were threatened with even death for trying to implement socialism in Europe. So they migrated. By the tens of thousands, they migrated. Where did they come? The majority of them came to America. Now, if you were a socialist and you wanted to implement socialism, why would you come to America? Oh, obviously because the Constitution is in place, can be used to achieve socialist goals. Because you've already got the unlimited taxation, which is the core of socialism. So they came to America, and what is one of the first things they did? They started buying up newspapers. Oh, okay. And not only that, but we already had some socialists here. Horace Greeley with the New York Tribune, the largest newspaper, largest circulation in the United States in 1860. But he had as his associate editor Charles A. Dana, who was a very close friend of Karl Marx and Frederick Engels and had visited them in Europe. And so Engels combines with Marx, although most of them were under Marx's name, combines for over 5,000 editorials in the New York Tribune. And who was one of their faithful readers, wanted that New York Tribune brought to his office every day? Abraham Lincoln. So, but here we have, now, they came to America, and they start buying up newspapers, they start doing other things, and then, within a short period of time, they create their own political party. It's called the Republican Party today, founded by Marxists. Hasn't changed much, has it? So, they found the Republican Party. And then every political party has to have a cause. So what cause could they really jump onto and embrace that would produce more of what they were after? More socialism. Oh, okay. Let's jump on slavery. Now, ironically, we're looking at 1848. What happens after 1848 that doesn't make any sense in this country? Well, number one is we end up with a book written called Uncle Tom's Cabin, which saw phenomenal circulation after the Marxists get to America. Phenomenal circulation, and it's a book of fiction. The characters are not real, but it has astronomical sales. Sells over 5,000 copies within 3 days, and then ends up being the most purchased book in America, second only to the Bible. And in a day of where average circulation of a book, I mean, if you sold, you know, 300-400 copies of a book back then, you were big time. And so suddenly we have that, which makes no sense, and it's fiction. Completely and totally fiction. Well, originally the southern states allowed the book there for a while, and then they saw what it was producing, and then many of the southern states banned it. I don't agree with that, but they did. They saw where it was leading. So, all right, we have that occurring in America about this time. What else do we have occurring about this time? That just doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever when you look at it comprehensively. And that would be the case of Dred Scott. Now, Dred Scott was a slave, and he was owned by a man in the army, trying to think of his name, Ellison, I think it was, something like that. But anyway, and he takes him into Wisconsin. Well, according to the rules and regulations back then, if you took a slave into a state that was free, like Wisconsin already was, then that slave becomes free. Well, Dred Scott didn't push it. But anyway, to try to make a long story short here, at some point in time, back in Missouri, Dred Scott petitions the court to allow him to be free because of he had been taken into Wisconsin. And the lower court agrees with him and says, yes, you're exactly right. And so then it says, okay, you're a free man. All right, well, then allegedly his owner then decides, no, we want to keep him. So they take the case all the way to the Supreme Court of Missouri first. There's three judges on the Supreme Court in Missouri. Two of them decide that, no, we're overruling the lower court's decision, and yes, you are a slave again. Well, the dissenting vote in that decision said there was no grounds for that decision. There was absolutely no legal grounds for those two Missouri Supreme Court justices to say he was a slave again. None. But it happened. Okay, why? Was there money behind it? Why would two judges even care about a slave enough to say, no, we're putting him back in slavery again? So then it drags on for 10 years before it goes before the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, here's the question. If you look into this, here's a man who's a slave. He's got a family. Oh, I forgot to mention one other thing, too. While he was in Wisconsin, which was a free state, he married a lady who was a slave. So how could she be a slave in a free state? There's so many things about this that just do not make sense about the whole thing. But, you know, no one's taught this. We don't go into it. But here's the question. Dred Scott was a slave. Where did he get enough money to keep this in the court system for 11 years? Well, another better question is how did the lady who now owned him, because her husband had died, the lady who now owns him and has remarried, and remarrieds, the man she remarried was named Sanford. So how does she afford it to keep in the cost of litigation for 11 years? How did that happen? And then suddenly, 1857, the Supreme Court has the case, Dred Scott v. Sanford, but they can't say, they don't have the legal background to say that Dred Scott is a slave again. But what they did do was they said that the Missouri Compromise, which created the fact that he was granted his freedom, was unconstitutional, and that Dred Scott was no longer a citizen. So if he was a citizen, he couldn't bring a case in court. But he did, and they took the case. If he couldn't bring a case, why did the Supreme Court take it? Again, lots of money spent here, and no one knows the origin of that money. Well, then let's look at something else, a guy by the name of John Brown. Now, all of this happens after the Marxists get to America in droves. So now we have John Brown and the John Brown issue. Okay, he goes into Kansas and starts killing people who own slaves. He would go to their door at nighttime, knock on the door, and when the man would come out, John Brown and his associates would literally chop the person to pieces with knives, bayonets, machetes, whatever they had. And then John Brown, after the Kansas fiasco. He goes back to the New England, and suddenly gets money to pull a raid on Harper's Ferry. Now, my question has always been this: if these people, these socialists, had enough money to do all of this with the Uncle Tom's Cabin, with the money to do the other ventures, Dred Scott and John Brown, why didn't they buy enough politicians to approach the issue of slavery in the courts? That wouldn't have made sense. Well, maybe they didn't want to abolish slavery. They wanted it to be a contentious issue. Oh, imagine that. So here we are. We've got things we can't explain, and they all happen after this super influx of Marxists from Europe. And now I know there's going to be people who say, well, you said that unlimited taxation, that's one thing, you know, these people weren't socialists. Well, let me tell you about a founder by the name of Benjamin Rush, who was considered to be the father of psychology, and he had all kind of ways of treating disease back then. I mean, he and Bill Gates would have been great friends, because Benjamin Rush treats disease by bloodletting and mercury. He prescribed mercury for almost every malady known to man. Folks, don't try it. It'll kill you. But here, what else was the great Benjamin Rush, who is lauded by, the guy with the wall builders? I can't think of his name right now. David Barton. There we go. He's lauded by him as one of the great Christians of American founding society. And he quotes him, and the quotes are correct that he uses, except for the ones he leaves out. Because Benjamin Rush very explicitly said that the Constitution of the United States was just as important as the Old or New Testament. He doesn't mention that. But what else did Benjamin Rush, who I call one of our founding socialists, of course Alexander Hamilton had to be the other, but Benjamin Rush made a couple of comments or a couple of things that proves without a doubt that he was in fact a socialist. And let me read those, if I might, please. Okay, let's start with number one here. And I quote, "The extensive influence which these opinions," and he's talking about the Anti-Federalist, "and the Sons of Liberty." And he says, "The extensive influence which these opinions, excited by the excess passion for liberty, had upon the understandings, passions, and morals of many of the citizens of the United States, it constituted a species of insanity, which I shall take the liberty of distinguishing by the name of anarchia." So people, if you love freedom, if you love rightful liberty, then you have a mental illness, according to the founding psychologist and the founding socialist. Well, he also said something else, and he is considered to be the father of public schools under the Constitution, according to David Barton. So what did he say about that? Let me quote again. "Let our pupil be taught that he does not belong to himself, but that he is public property. Let him be taught to love his family, but let him be taught at the same time that he must forsake and even forget his family if the welfare of his country requires it." I've got some music. Be back in a few.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Protests inside the Tennessee State Capitol yesterday raised some questions. I'm Peter Serfing with another Liberty Minute. I carry a gun to protect those around me. I'm a member of Right to Bear to protect my legal rights. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com for affordable carry insurance. Protesters swarmed the Tennessee State Capitol building yesterday as votes were being taken to expel three Democrat members of the State House. The vote to expel these three Democrats is because last week those three joined in another protest inside the Capitol building. That protest disrupted the proceedings of the legislature. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Should elected officials be removed because they protested and disrupted the proceedings? One thing I definitely noticed is that nobody is reporting on this storming of the state capitol as an insurrection. 1,000 people have been prosecuted for storming a Capitol building and disrupting an official proceeding on January 6, 2021. How is this any different? Oh, because these protesters want gun control. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Cephas Pashem, Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Guys, looks like we're back, and welcome back to the National Intelligence Report. I am Mike Gatti, and we are delving into socialism in America and why the socialists who were being disruptive and trying to implement socialism, why did they come to America? And my contention is because they came to the country whose government offered them the fertile ground to push their socialist principles. And again, I know I'm probably going to upset a lot of people, but what is an oligarchy? An oligarchy is a government run by a privileged few. Well, is that what we have in America today? A wealthy aristocracy that controls whatever happens in this country? I think you would be hard-pressed to prove me wrong when I say yes. That's exactly what we have. But that's who wrote the Constitution, people. The term "we the people" is the greatest fraud that's ever been pulled on people, because we the people were not at the Constitutional Convention. There were no common people there. The people who were there, stop and think about it, of the original 55, 34 were lawyers. The percentage of population of lawyers in the country was 0.06%. So they were tremendously overrepresented. And then the final 39 that signed the Constitution, 24 of them were lawyers. And then 67% of the people who wrote the Constitution ended up serving in the first government. Now, isn't that nice? And people like Alexander Hamilton in letters said that the wealthy and the well-born must control the government. And the wealthy and the well-born must be made part of the government. And he set about to do that as the first Secretary of Treasury. And one of the ways they did that was to make so many of the people, the founders, as debt speculators. And we know so much about that. No, we don't. We know very little about that. But they came here and look at the other socialist principles of our, number one, we've mentioned taxation. Well, let's look at something else. A necessary and proper clause, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18, which means that the government has the powers of implication, which means it doesn't have to be written down. They can do it if they want to. Now, you can stretch that any way you want to, but if you were a socialist, that would be your dream. We can move into this government and we can pass any law, we can do anything we want to, and all we have to do is say it was necessary and proper. And that's been done hundreds of times. Necessary and proper. And then we have, you know, the Commerce Clause. We have so many other things that are strictly socialist, and especially the final say-so about any issue that goes before the courts of this country, the final say-so is rendered by 9 politically well-connected lawyers, or they would never get the job to start with. An unknown that's out there doing a good job is not going to they're not going to be the good guys, right? So we have there, it's in place. A socialist system has been set up. So if I'm a socialist and I'm running for my life and I need to go somewhere where I can really create a good government that I like, which is socialist, I'm going to come to the country that offers me that opportunity. Well, now we're going to do what the theme of my program was for today, is the Communist Manifesto. The 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. And today, there is at least one government agency in place to enforce all 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. Now, why would the government have a unit or multiple units in place to enforce anything in the wonderful Communist Manifesto? Why? Well, no congressman, no member of any part of this government has ever proposed stopping it. They don't even mention it. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Well, now let's take a look at the Communist Manifesto. And then we'll start with each one of the planks. Okay, plank number one, the abolition of private property in land and application of all rents of land to public purpose. Well, the courts have interpreted the 14th Amendment, which was never properly ratified, to give the government far more eminent domain. Well, you say, well, the 14th Amendment was never properly ratified. Well, the government said it was. Necessary and proper clause. Sounds like music. We'll be right back, guys.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off LLC, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Well, welcome back, folks, to the National Intelligence Report, and I am Mike Gatti here on Republic Broadcasting, and we are talking about the Communist Manifesto and why our government has an agency to enforce each and every part of it, at least one. So let me start again with number one, the abolition of private property and land and application of all rents of land to public purposes, which means it all goes to the government. So, and that the rents on your public is called your property tax. You don't own anything. If you really believe that you own the home that you paid on for 20, 30 years, if you really believe you own that, don't pay your taxes a couple of years and see what happens. That is part of the Communist Manifesto. And I just read it to you. But the courts have interpreted the 14th Amendment, which we said was a necessary and proper, or it could be adjudicated that way, to give the government far more eminent domain power than was ever originally intended. Under the rubric of eminent domain and zoning regulations, land use regulations by the Bureau of Land Management and the U.S. Forest Service, property taxes, environmental agencies, excuses, private property rights have become completely diluted, and private property in lands, vehicles, and any other forms are seized almost every day in this country under the forfeiture provisions of the RICO statutes and the so-called war on drugs. Oh, now stop and think about this. Asset forfeiture. There are laws in place now, and this I know a lady, God rest her soul, who was a former senator in the state of Arkansas, who fought against this asset forfeiture. Because law enforcement, if they found you and searched your car or what have you, and found you with a substantial amount of cash, they can seize it. What happened to the Fourth Amendment? Probable cause. Oh, they can seize it, and they can keep it, and they don't have to give it back if they seize your money. It's been done multiple occasions. And you have to prove that you earned that money legally, or the government just keeps your money. So how many different agencies have we put into the first plank here? Well, let's jump to the second plank. A heavy, progressive, or graduated income tax. Oh, well, we know who enforces that, right? What government agency? Well, the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, also never properly ratified, but necessary and proper, right? And various state income taxes established this major Marxist coup in the United States under whom? Abraham Lincoln, who established the IRS and the first income tax. And Lincoln was elected by whom? Marxist. Oh, okay. Well, it would make sense then, wouldn't it? These taxes continue to drain the lifeblood out of the American economy and greatly reduce the accumulation of desperately needed capital for future growth, business starts, job creation, and salary increases. I've got a neighbor. We were just in a casual conversation the other day, and he said, you know, and I have no idea how much money he makes. He's a professional, you know, craftsman. But he told me, he said, you know, this taxes is just getting unreal. He said, between state and federal taxes, and the gentleman's got three kids. He said, between state and federal taxes, my last paycheck, they took out over $1,200. Now, what could that man do with $1,200? Take better care of his family? Maybe go into business for himself? Maybe start something else? But anyway, it's his money. But not according to the Communist Manifesto, it's not. So, okay, so we know the IRS is involved in number two. So let's look at number three, the abolition of all rights of inheritance. Well, how do we do that? Well, we can raise the inheritance taxes to a level that people cannot afford to keep the property which they have just inherited. Oh, now how would we do that? Well, that's certainly a Marxist attack on private property. And we have federal and state estate taxes and other inheritance taxes, which have abolished or at least greatly diluted the right of private property owners to determine the disposition and distribution of their estates upon their death. Instead, government bureaucrats get their greedy hands involved on several different levels. Now, the court systems would be involved in this, of course. And again, we put all of these things together, a plank of the Communist Manifesto that as being enforced by the federal government. And why? Unlimited taxation. Now, if you look at all of these things that we're going to talk about with these steps, look the factor of unlimited taxation and put into it, and how does that play? And again, I said, not to be redundant, but if you're a Marxist and you're trying to get the Dickens out of Europe because they're coming after you, but you still want to promote your government, why would you not come to the country that has already in place unlimited taxation, which helps you get everything that you want if you're a Marxist. Let's move to the fourth plank. Confiscation of the property of all immigrants and rebels. Oh, okay. Well, now, see, you might accept that because you would say, well, the immigrants don't deserve that property. But I don't agree with that. If they got it honestly, I don't. But what about the rebel part here? Well, you know, we call this government seizures, tax liens, forfeiture, public law 99-570, which was passed in 1986, Executive Order 11490, Sections 1205, which gives private land to the Department of Urban Development. Oh, that's a government agency, right? The imprisonment of terrorists and those who speak out or write against the government. The 1997 Crime Terrorist Bill provides for that, or the IRS confiscation of property without due process. How many of you folks knew that the IRS does not have to go to court to seize your property? They can just randomly get an order and come and take your property and seize it without due process. Oh, you'll get some due process trying to get it back if you can afford it. But what are the chances? And especially this thing about rebels. People, heads up, because that's coming in this new system, this social credit score. If you speak out against the government, you are going to be unable to own property. These things are coming. Then let's look at step number five. Centralization of credit in the hands of the state. Ooh, by means of a national bank with exclusive monopoly. Well, I think we call that the Federal Reserve. Under Alexander Hamilton, one of our founding socialists, it was called the Bank of the United States. And prior to that, under the Articles of Confederation, it was called the Bank of North America. All of whom, in essence, had monopolies. Well, we had a Supreme Court case that was brought about by this in 1819. And that was called McCulloch v. Maryland. And the state of Maryland said, wait a minute, if you're going to put your U.S. bank in the state of Maryland, then you're going to pay Maryland taxes, just like any other business. And the federal government said, oh, no, we're not. So they go to court, and the Supreme Court Justice, Mr. John Marshall, rules in favor of the federal government. Imagine that. And what did he cite? Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18, the Necessary and Proper Clause. Well, now let's look at, as I said, the centralization of credit. We call it the Federal Reserve, created by the Federal Reserve Act of Congress in 1913. And it made and created a national bank, and it is politically manipulative by the government. Well, not really. The Federal Reserve is not part of our government. It's no more federal than Federal Express. But it politically manipulates interest rates and holds a monopoly on legal counterfeiting in the United States. This is exactly what Karl Marx had in mind and completely fulfills this plank of the manifesto, another one of the major socialist objectives. Now, I ask you, or did they not use the Constitution to do this? Yet most Americans naively believe that the United States of America is far from a Marxist or a socialist nation, regardless of how many facts you throw at them. And again, I don't care what Trump said in 2019, that we're not a socialist country, and we never have been. We have been since 1789. the principles of a socialist government have been in place. People, if it wasn't, we wouldn't be in this mess we're in today. But anyway, let's jump to the next one. Number six, centralization of the means of communication and transportation in the hands of the government. Ooh. In the U.S., communication and transportation are controlled and regulated by the Federal Communications Commission, established by the Communications Act of 1934, and the Department of Transportation and the Interstate Commerce Commission, established by Congress in 1887, the Federal Aviation Administration, as well as Executive Orders 11490 and 10999. Not to mention various state bureaucracies and regulations. There is also a federal postal monopoly. There are Amtrak and Conrail, both owned and operated by the government, and they're involved in free enterprise, what should be free enterprise. Now, let's not forget that the wonderful Lysander Spooner decided that he would go into business against the federal post office and create his own mail delivery system. And the courts very quickly shut him down. Now, all of these are businesses owned by the government, which makes it a socialist government, people. Instead of the free market enterprise in all of these industries, these fields in America are centralized through the government's regulatory industrial complex, which, folks, is socialism. Number is seven, the extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state, the bringing into cultivation of wastelands, and the improvement of the soil, generally in accordance with a common plan. Now, while the United States does not have those wonderful collective farms, which failed so miserably in the Soviet Union, we nevertheless do have a significant degree of government involvement in agriculture in the form of price support subsidies and acreage allotments and land use controls. I remember in the living in, out west in Colorado, the government would pay you not to grow food or not to grow a crop. Why? Is that not socialism from the very beginning? It just really bothers me that we can't see this. Well, how many of you have ever heard of the Desert Entry Act and the Department of Agriculture and there we are, another government agency, as well as the Department of Commerce and Labor, the Department of Interior, and the EPA, those wonderful folks, and the Bureau of Land Management, the other BLM, the Bureau of Reclamation, the Bureau of Mines, the National Park Service, and the IRS control of business through corporate regulations. That, my friends, is socialism. Let's look at number eight. An equal obligation of all to work. Establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. Well, we call it the Social Security Administration and the Department of Labor. Government agencies? The national debt and inflation caused by the communal bank, the Federal Reserve, has caused the need for all-to-income families. Women in the workplace since the 1920s, the 19th Amendment of the Constitution, and the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Socialist unions, affirmative action, the Federal Public Works Program, and of course Executive Order 11000. Let's not forget now, the Equal Rights Amendment means that women should do all the work that men do, including the military, and since passage of that ERA, it would make women subject to the draft. Which means if it is re-implemented, which I think will happen, then suddenly, because the military is falling apart with this you know, you can be your own gender or whatever it is. And it's causing a lot of problems. And the vaccinations, the people who refused to take them and were discharged. So if they come back with the draft, that means that women can be drafted. And that's one of the things that's always killed me about the draft. And it was in effect when I was young. And people were trying to figure out all kind of ways to get out of the draft. The draft is slavery, folks. How can you expect someone to go fight for their freedom when they're a slave? Wasn't their choice. Ah, got some more music here, guys, and we'll be back on the other side. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
All right, here we are back again, folks, and we've got a couple of minutes here to get in Plank 9 and Plank 10. Let's jump to number 9, and that is the combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries. And the gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country by a more equitable distribution of the population over the country. Now, here I would refer you to UN Mandate 2030. And you folks are going to say, well, that's the UN. People read Article 6 about treaties in the Constitution. A treaty can have the same effect as any part of the Constitution. And we have a treaty with the United Nations. I would go back to the wonderful president named Truman, who made a public statement and said, the Constitution does not provide me the authority to send troops to Korea, but the United Nations does. There are so many examples out here, but Americans are too busy being entertained to really pick up on it. But let's look at under that number nine, talking about government agencies, we could say, well, there is the Planning and Reorganization Act of 1949, Zoning, Title 17, 1910 through 1990, and Super Corporate Farms. And we know where those are, as well as Executive Orders 11647 and 11731. And, of course, there's Public Law 89-136. And I'll try to put all of these into a concise form for any who would like to have them. Just get in touch with the Rebel Madman, and we will make sure that you get a list of these various ones. But now, jump to number 10, while we've still got time. Free education for all children in government schools. Ooh. The combination of education with industrial production. Wow. Well, people are taxed to support what we call public schools, which train the young to work for the communal debt system we call the Federal Reserve. And, you know, we also have the Department of Education, which was created by the wonderful Jimmy Carter. And in 1980, Ronald Reagan campaigned on abolishing the Department of Education. But he didn't. He actually doubled it in size in 8 years, or very close. Oh, we also have the National Education Association and outcome-based education, No Child Left Behind, all of these other stupid things that are teaching your children and my grandchildren and others to be slaves to the government. And it's part of the Communist Manifesto. So there we have gone through all 10. We have listed each one of the government agencies that would be involved in it. And just in time, because I hear the music coming. So we'll see you on after the top of the hour, folks. Republic Broadcasting, the only way to go.
Take America back. We must take America back.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? What are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.